as we return to our seats and go into our time today to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, we will be turning to the book of Acts today, in particular, Acts chapter 7. But before we get there, a bit of a little disclaimer at the beginning of this message is, this message was not where I had planned. It's not what I had planned, but it is everything that He had planned for us, because I was ready to move on this week. And I was sitting there in my chair Friday night typing the first message to our next series. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then, you know, when you get that feeling, and then you get that nudge, no. And I started recalling all sorts of conversations I had this past week. And then God took me to Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And thanks be to God for this. As there is yet another question we had to ask in regards to this thing we've been exploring called calling, a question we hadn't addressed yet, a question that someone kind of stirred in my heart this past week when they mentioned to me, Pastor, you talked about Moses, but you didn't mention his age. And that's an important thing to note, is Moses' age. And there's more than just that, but it really is important to note when it was Moses was called forth by God into his kingdom work that God had prepared for him. Because as we've been asking this question this whole time, is there more than this? Is there more to this life than all we've seen and experienced? And we've gone to Ephesians 2:10 to show that there is, because it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And what we see, in particular, in Moses' life is an answer to a very important question in regards to calling, and that answer is when. When will it happen? When will it come? When will I know it? Am I too late for my when? Which I actually have a joke, and trigger warning, it's a dad joke. So I had to give a speech, and it was going to be a really crowded room and really tight quarters, and I had the worst breath ever. So I reached into my pocket and I found a breath mint. And sadly, it was expired by a few years. But, you know, I had terrible breath, and I knew that would be a distraction because you could smell it across the room. So I popped the breath mint in my mouth, that expired mint, and you know what? It was still minty fresh and in mint condition. I digress, though, to our question today of when. Thank you. Nevertheless, hang on to that joke because it really does apply to what it is we're going to be discussing today from God's Word, what it is we're going to hear and respond to God's Word today. And with this being said, I'd like to invite Sam Dierdak up here to read our passage today, which comes from Acts 7, 17 through 36. And in particular, just to explain, this is a moment in time, a historical moment where Stephen is giving a defense of the faith and showing us how the entire Bible points us to Christ. In particular, he's talking to a bunch of Pharisees that want to have him killed. And he's trying to explain to them, you've tried so many times to do it your way, and when are you going to realize that God has done it? That God has done it, and you keep persecuting and killing the prophets he sends to you. But that is where we're turning today, in Acts 7, 17 through 36. Here you go, Sam. Thank you.
Okay, Acts 7, 17. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. When a new king, whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt, he dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and says, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight, and he went over to get a closer look, and he heard God, the Lord God, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and dared not look. When the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you to Egypt." This is the same Moses that they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, through the angel appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness.
Thank you so much, Sam, for taking us there in the book of Acts. So, Stephen does an excellent job at showing the answer to the question of when. When will we find this thing called calling? When it comes, when can we expect it to come? And the answer is at any time, any place, anywhere, even at any age. But the first part of this very passage that we read, verse 17, shows us fully this, in particular, as it says, "But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham." And I just want to hang on that for a moment. As the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham. Ultimately, it is in God's timing. Because we got to remember something we talked about several weeks ago. It's not our calling, but it is God's calling in our life. It comes from God. It is God's, and it's in his timing, not our own. So when we say things like, "When God, when?" It's in his timing. It's when God says. It's not when this or that takes place or this happens. No, it's when God calls, because it's as the time that the promise drew near, giving us that fast and simple answer on when God plans, when God moves. It is all about God's plan, God's design, God's will, not our own. For as we discussed last week, we need to learn to pray that prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." Not our own, God, but yours. And just like we read from the prophet Isaiah as we've started this time to hear and respond to God's word, we remember his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He declares this, Isaiah says. And once again, thanks be to God for this. For his ways, his purposes, and plans are far better than anything we could ever hope for, and far better than anything we could ever design. I don't know about you, but I remember crafting the perfect plan in my life. I really worked hard, and I mean, it was just a great plan. And it was when I was joining the Army National Guard. that my journey with the National Guard kind of reminds me of this. And when God's call comes is when God's call comes. Because I had made a perfect plan. I had decided to join a particular unit in Tell City, Indiana, because that's where my grandparents lived. And you know what that meant? I got to go see my grandparents and other family members every time I would have a drill weekend. And it was going to be wonderful, and I was going to get to stay with them when we had home drills, which means we stayed at the armory and we didn't go anywhere. And I was like, I was all set. You know, the unit I was joining, one of the 151 of the 76th Infantry Brigade, they had just got back from a recent deployment, and they weren't expected to deploy again for another 4 years. And granted, this was 2006, and we all knew that Iraq and Afghanistan at that time was going to be well over in 4 years, right? The point is, I was like, this is going to be great, and I'm going to get to spend time with my family. It's going to be wonderful. And I remember, as soon as I got back from basic training, you know, and got married to my beautiful bride, it was about 3 months later, I got a phone call, and it was an order to report. And so I go to our armory, because they wanted to hand us all letters. And those letters were mobilization orders for Iraq in 2007. And then I got to spend, instead of 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year, I got to spend the majority of 2007 at different posts all across America preparing and training to go to Iraq in 2007. Not to mention, I got transferred to another unit away from where my family was. And boy, I had these great plans. I had these wonderful plans. But my plans didn't work out too much at all. Because something I realized, too, was even when I was at basic training, I was blessed to be the honor grad of my entire battalion. And so they were going to give me a ticket to airborne school. And I was going to get to learn how to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. And I was excited about that. It was only going to take 3 weeks. Granted, I was getting married in 3 weeks. But, you know, I was going to be back the day before the wedding. You know, if anyone's ever been in the military, you know that the Army's time is the Army's time. 3 weeks is actually 3 months. And you never know what's going to happen in between. Needless to say, I had turned down this great opportunity. I remember my drill instructor's words specifically to me. The Army didn't issue me a wife. The Army didn't issue you a wife. That was his exact words. You should go to school. And I'm like, no, I can't. I got to go home. I got to do right by my family and definitely by my future bride. And so I missed the opportunity to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. But you know what? It was a great opportunity to miss because I had a greater opportunity waiting for me at home. The point being, it didn't matter what my plans were. The Army had its own plan, and I was going to do what the Army told me to do, because the Army gets its way in regards to those plans, no matter what your plans are. The same goes, and even more so, with God. We see this clearly with Moses. Moses gives every excuse under the sun, as we explored last week. We explored all the excuses, and we finally got to that last one. Oh, Lord, just send someone else. You know, he just pleads with God, just send someone else, God. You don't know what you're doing here. You're making a mistake, God. But God knew exactly what he was doing, and God wasn't making any mistake, for as we know from his word, that Moses was uniquely positioned to do exactly what God had in store for him. The exact thing he had been molding Moses into his masterpiece to do beforehand. And as we see in Acts 7:17, but as the time of the promise drew near, as the time drew near, God acted as God willed. Not as Moses willed, but as God willed. When? The answer was when God. Not when we or when this, it was when God had planned. Furthermore, our passage is a testament to this, and something that Stephen makes sure to point out throughout this passage about Moses' life. Did anyone catch the thing that that Stephen kept pointing out about Moses during Sam's reading of our word today? Did anyone catch it? Stephen mentions just three passings of something. Three passings of time. He first mentions when he was 40 years old in verse 23, and then in verse that referring to whenever he fled from Egypt, when he kills the Egyptian and he flees from Egypt because of his actions. And then it mentions in verse 40, now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. So 40 years had passed since he was 40, so that would make Moses 80. Moses was 80. To only mention another passing of time past this point in time, in verse 36, it says, this man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So that would make Moses how old? 120. And furthermore, Stephen isn't just throwing numbers out here. Stephen isn't just making up numbers here for us. Stephen is giving us historical information. In fact, we read in the book of Exodus 7:7, it says this, now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. And further on, if you've been following along in our daily readings from our daily reading plan, this past week we had Deuteronomy 34, in particular verses 4 through 7 that says this, and the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. And we know the story about how Moses strikes the rock in a very unglorifying manner, and it to give the Israelites water, and it doesn't really bring much glory or honor to God. And so his punishment was he wouldn't get to go to the promised land. But so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him. Who buried Moses? He. Who's the he? It's only Moses and God. God buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite of Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Just, I want to pause there and think about that. What it must have been like to be buried by God. That God and Moses had such a relationship that God took care of Moses' body right there in the wilderness. How special is that? Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was undimmed and his vigor unabated. Stephen isn't just throwing out numbers here. Stephen is throwing out facts. And these facts are intentional. They're intentional for the point he's trying to make, and they're intentional for a point that we also see that is under the point that he's trying to make. That when he speaks about these times in regards to Moses, he makes a very important point for us in regards to calling, about the when, the answer to the question of when, but as the time of the promise drew near, as verse 17 shows. The time of the promise God made drew near. The time God had set had come. The time for God's plan to be set into motion was going into its next phase. Showing us once again, it's when God, not when we or when this, it is when God moves. For once again, as we have stressed several weeks through this series, it's not our calling. It's God's calling in our life. And it can happen anytime, anywhere, at any place, at any age. Moses was 80 years old. He had established a life for himself in Midian, and he was well advanced in years. I can see him planning out his final days. You know, he's planning out those final days. He might have been planning his final retirement, those final years, you know, preparing to give out his inheritance to his son as he had to do, picking out where he would be laid to rest, making so many plans, but then God. And boy, I love those words, but then God. I can tell you so many times where I've planned something in my life, but then God steps in. Then God, from a burning bush, calls out to Moses when he was 80 and says, hey, Moses, I'm not done with you yet. I haven't even gotten started with you yet. Only to come to realize that there would be another 40 years of Moses' life where he'd be wandering around in the wilderness, leading the people of Israel like a shepherd. And there's such a beautiful thing here that God strengthens and empowers Moses to do just this each and every day to fulfill this calling, as that passage from Deuteronomy testified to in verse 34. It says this in chapter 34, verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. Just wondering who here at your current age can say your eye has been undimmed and your vigor unabated. I know I can't, and I'm only pushing 37. I'm telling you, my vigor's been abated quite a bit in my life. I don't know I can say this, but Moses could. I can't say it after a war, brain cancer, and then three children. You know, the hairs are starting to grow gray, and if you ask what hair, I ask you afterwards to turn to 2 Kings 2, 23, 25, and we could talk about that later. It's a story about a prophet who's going bald, some kids that make fun of him, and some bears. It's a great story. It's from 2 Kings 2, 23 through 25. We've all been warned. I digress. The point being, I wouldn't consider my days without eyes undimmed and vigor unabated. But Moses was, because Moses needed strength. He needed power. He needed vigor to do what it was that God was calling him to do. And we can't forget the acting agent in all of this, the Holy Spirit. The very means by which God empowers us in the callings that he gives us. It is by and through his Holy Spirit, God in us, God moving in us, empowering us, leading us. It's by and through the Holy Spirit. Showing us God's calling comes when God calls, unexpectedly. It can come when we're 80. It can come when we're 100. It can come when you're 7. It doesn't matter what age. If you're young or young at heart, God's calling will come. And you may think, I can't do that. I don't have the strength or the vigor I used to have. Remember Moses. Remember what God did through Moses, and he would carry Moses for another 40 years past 80 to 120. And you read the story of the Israelites in the wilderness. I mean, they face war. They face so much war and so much difficulty. They face the wilderness, which is dangerous and deadly. But Moses' eyes were undimmed, and his vigor was unabated because God's Spirit was with him, and God had a purpose and plan. And Stephen shows us it is not in our timing, but in his. It's not in our power, but it is in his. Even more clear, Stephen makes this very clear to us when he explains that Moses was 80 years old, that 40 years had passed, and then 40 more passed in the wilderness until Moses would have passed. And how God, for 80 years, molded Moses, prepared Moses, shaped Moses, uniquely positioned Moses over the course of 80 years of his life for that moment in time. That God uniquely positioned Moses over the course of 80 years for those 40 that were to come. That God planted seeds, gifts, talents, experiences, and passions in Moses' life. God gave Moses important social spheres and influences he needed, as we've been talking about, once again, uniquely positioning Moses for that purpose. It's because it's all about when God, not when we or when this, but when God. Because when God calls, he calls. And it's not just in Moses' life we see this. Think about Abraham and Sarah, well in their 90s, having a biological child, a child that they would give the name Isaac, who would be the father of Jacob, who would later then be called Israel, the nation that God had promised that would come through Abraham, the very nation God calls forth through Moses in his timing and in his plans, not ours. once again making clear the answer to our question in regards to calling today. When? When God. Not when we or when this. It is when God. Bringing us to this point of conclusion today for this series and for this message. Knowing, as we've expressed since the very first week of this series, if you know Jesus, calling has happened in your life. We have all been given the great general calling to go forth, to be light and salt, to be hands and feet of Jesus in our very communities, in our neighborhoods, pointing everyone we can to Christ, being that vessel of blessing where God would funnel his life, his work, his power into this world through you and I. We all have that if we know Jesus, to go and teach the world to observe all that he has commanded us as we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've all been given that purpose, that great calling, but we also have those specific purposes. And if you've ever asked, when will I find it? When, Lord, will it come? Have I missed my when? Understand, it can happen anytime, anywhere, at any place, and at any age. As God uses all of our lives for his purpose and his will, what has God been speaking to you these past several weeks? How is it God has been revealing he may be using you at this very moment? Have we taken time to find that point of intersection that we talked about the past couple of weeks? That point where our gifts, our talents, our experiences in life all intersect in God's kingdom work? What is it God has been revealing to you? Understand, as long as there's breath in your lungs, he is not done with you. He is not through with you. He is not done calling and sending you forth. God is not done empowering and using you for his purposes. As long as there's breath in our lungs, there is no expiration date. We're always going to be minty fresh and in mint condition to be used by him. See, I told you that joke would come in handy later on. Back to the point. We can look at Moses' life and we can see this. We can look at others' lives in the Bible and see this, that God uses us all when he plans to use us. Some of you may be retired teachers, aspiring teachers, whether you're young or old. God can use that. Some of you may be engineers. Could you think about how God could just use your skills and talents for his kingdom work, not just here in Exeter, but around the world, in the mission field, the skills and gifts you have? You may be long retired, but you have a gift and a knowledge inside of you that can change this world for Christ. Some of your cooks, very good cooks, chefs extraordinaires, that is a gift God can use. Some have medical expertise. Some are able to just make things work. You're great with your hands. You can fix toilets. You can fix this and that. Some of you have some great hidden talents. You're musicians. And boy, let me let you know, God uses that. Whatever your blank is, think about it. Some of you are blank. Whatever that blank is in your life, you can fill it in with the things that God has led you through, knowing that as long as you have breath in your lungs, God is not done. He is far from done. Think about Moses, 80 years old, there in Midian, had his whole life planned out before him. But then God. What's your but then God today? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team forward as we go into a time to respond to this word. And we're going to sing a song in particular called Lay It Down. And it goes, it's very simple. Here's my life, I lay it down. Here's my life, I lay it down. May we do that very thing today. Lay down our life, our doubts, our fears, and take hold of the promise. Because when the time of the promise draws near, God will call.